Check, check, mic 1, 2, 1, 2. Welcome back to JP's Perspective, a podcast experience where we talk about faith, motivation, and entrepreneurship. What's going on, guys? Hopefully you guys are having a great day. Thank you guys for listening. Today in the studio, well, actually in the library again, I have Serge with me. I met this dude at the coffee shop and instantly we just clicked and we connected and yeah, man.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
What's up,
how's
dude?
It going? How's everybody doing? What's new, man?
Nothing, man. It's I've been busy grinding, but I see you doing the same thing, and so I wanted to ask him.
Yeah, I've been chilling a little bit. I've kind of took a step back. Kind of, I'm still doing what I'm doing, like with my YouTube channel and like my businesses and everything. But essentially, I kind of with social media and stuff, I haven't posted very often at all. Really, I don't remember. It's been like 2 months since I put my post. You know, but it's crazy because like I'm not even posting on there, but because of my channel, people are following me. So
yeah,
cool to see that, you know, not everything is about the algorithm and posting a bunch of crap just to
stay
with everybody's speed of like posting content. So that's pretty cool to see. But yeah.
So essentially, like my audience, this is the first time. So what do you do, Serge? What are the hustles you do, man?
So essentially, you know, the hedgehog concept. If you guys have ever read Good to Great, you guys will understand that. But essentially, I went to school, you know, graduated high school from a small town in Springfield, Missouri, or Willard, Missouri. And when I graduated, really had no idea what I was doing. I was 17. Entrepreneurship was always in my life. I just didn't understand what it was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my parents, you know, they migrated from Romania. And so I was first generation Romanian here. Okay. So, I mean, all foreigners are kind of entrepreneurs
because
they
kind of
just have to hustle, you know? So, but yeah, you know, they did a lot of different businesses growing up. And I would look at all my older siblings and I'm like, man, they're all truck drivers and they're all working hard construction. Yeah. That's not what I want.
Yeah.
You know?
So family was in construction? Or?
Yeah, construction, granite, plumbing. I mean, you name it.
And then also
truck driving. Truck driving was a huge thing in my family.
Really? Was it because you guys were in Missouri? Or was it
My dad, you know, they moved from Romania to California. And then my dad.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, my dad did construction for a really long time.
Okay.
And then the dude came here with a backpack with just clothes, man, and hustled, dude.
That's the same with my family, too, man. Yeah. So it was me, my mom, my dad, and my sister, and four of us each just had a backpack on our backs.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah,
that's
I know. And then just to look back at it, it's just how blessed we've become. And
it's
like,
amazing.
Yeah.
It's
how good God is.
I will never be able to grasp that,
right?
You know, because he supported us. Yes, he wasn't around a lot, you know, because he was just working so long and so hard. But regardless, you know, I'm very appreciative of my parents and everything that they've done.
For sure, man.
And yeah, that kind of leads to the point of, you know, I don't take my life for granted. I don't look at everything as if it's like, oh, you know, it's another day, you know.
Yeah,
but I understand that because of what they've done and the sacrifices that they've made, that I owe it to them and to my future family to hustle and make something of myself now.
That's
so
awesome, dude.
Yeah, dude. And I looked around and I was like, nah, I want to go to college. You know, I think only like three people from my family graduated out of 14. So I'm number 13 out of 14.
Oh,
so
wow.
Only three of them graduated college. So I was like, you know, they haven't done that. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
And talk to one of my sisters who did graduate as a respiratory therapist. And she was like, you should look into being a CRNA, which is a certified anesthetist.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what's that? You know? And so I started looking into that and what it would take to become a certified anesthetist. And so you essentially have to get into the hospital, become a CNA, get your RN degree, get experience in the ICU, and so on. So
put in time.
So that was my goal, which was a great goal to have started out with. But after I got my CNA, you know, certificate, once I got into nursing school, this is where things really started to.
It always ends up with nursing school. That's when you get that epiphany.
Well, dude, nursing school essentially wasn't hard for me. Like the content wasn't hard for me. It was more of a mental game because of And essentially at one point I was like, me being in the ICU and working in there
as
a CNA for 2 years prior to getting into nursing school, I was able to really get an insight of what it's going to be like afterwards, you know, and a lot of nursing students didn't have that insight. And so essentially for me, after just interviewing all these veteran nurses, I was like, dang, man, their lives are, this sucks. And they would tell me, get out, like this, it sucks. And I did, man. And so my third semester of nursing school, dude, my entrepreneurial spirit just came alive. Like God just, dude, in my heart, dude.
It just kicked in. That's awesome, man.
And I took my tax refund.
Yeah, yeah.
From my job, my W-2 job. And it was like $1,000-something. Yeah. And I got into e-commerce. And so I started my brand Woods. And it was just a side project, man. I just dumped that money in there.
You loved it instantly?
I loved the process of building it. Yeah. Dude, it was wooded watches. I wasn't into wooded watches, but it was the process of, like, you know, reaching out to all these different manufacturers, building this brand, getting the logo, all that stuff, right? That goes in building the store.
That's so funny because it's kind of like how we were with the Inspired Dreams. Yeah. And I'm like, man, this is like to the T.
Dude, and I realized that, man, and it got to my head. It is because, you know, I started locally promoting it. I got some high schoolers that were very popular in their high schools, you know, whether they're musicians, whatever, they were popular YouTubers there locally to promote the brand. And, you know, I start getting sales and I was like, dang, this is sick, man.
And he's starting to get sales and money and you're like, oh, I can do this.
Making jack squat, dude. My margins were terrible, dude. It was bad. And, but still, regardless, it was like, dang, I was getting some sales, you know, that's getting those first couple sales, man, is hard.
Oh, yeah, it's like the best feeling ever.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that. And, dude, I was trying to mess with Facebook ads and everything, and I was losing so much money doing that because I had no idea.
Facebook ads?
Yeah, because I didn't know what I was doing at all, you know, just like anything else. And that's like just anybody out there trying to do something, dude, they're going to lose money in the beginning. It's a learning process. And essentially, after that, after it got to my head, dude, I started questioning everything. I started questioning why I was going to nursing school. I was questioning. I was in a relationship to a girl that I literally was going to marry at one point. And, dude, things just spiraled bad. Ended up breaking up with her. And then also ended up shutting down my brand. I was also at the point. This was more of a spiritual and, like, emotional battle that I was going through.
Yeah.
Like confliction that I was having. And at one point I literally did not want to continue nursing. So I had one semester left and everybody at work was like, Serge, you have one semester left, dude, just push through.
Just
knock it out, get it out. And I was like, all right, you know, whatever, I'll finish this last semester. And that whole summer leading up to my last semester, man, did I just, I spiraled so bad. I was like essentially going through like a point where I was turning down interviews. I went to the ER interview. Literally, I did not want to be there, and they loved me. They wanted to hire me on the spot.
Really?
That's because I had this.
You had the experience.
No, I had this personality of this attitude of I don't want to be here, and I was like being a like I was straight up being a jerk.
During the interview,
like I literally sat at the end of a table of like 12 people. And they were just hammering like with questions. Like I was like sitting there and I was just straight up like giving it real and raw, dude. Yeah. I didn't even care.
Yeah.
And they're like, I wasn't trying, dude. Yeah. And like the fear was gone. There was no, I just didn't want to be there.
Yeah. That's funny how when fear gets away from you or like in your head, everything else becomes so easy. Just doing that.
Yeah. And so like essentially dude, I at one point I was like, listen, I'll let you guys know I have another interview in the neurotrauma ICU where I was working. And I went in there. It was a 15-minute interview. I was already working there for 3 years prior. So they knew my work ethic. They knew I was a hard worker. They knew I would learn quick. And so eventually I was like, whatever, you know, I went in there. I verbally took the job in the neurotrauma ICU and committed to them. Went through my last semester of nursing school. And right before Thanksgiving, it was around this time of the year.
Oh, okay.
And this was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And so around this time of the year, I was like, you know what? God, like, do what you want to do. And this was at a point where I was so low in my spiritual life and my emotional life and just questioning everything. I hit rock bottom, essentially. Yeah. And I was like, God, do what you want to do with me. Like, I don't care. Send me where you want to send me. And I was working a shift. And God was just like, Serge, go to Phoenix.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome.
And, dude, everything disappeared, all my anxiety, all my fear.
Yeah.
And that same week, I was supposed to give the neurotrauma ICU my full commitment and sign all my paperwork and everything. Uh-huh. And so the next day I went to my manager's office. I said, I'm turning down this job. I'm moving out to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And she was like, what are you doing out there? And I was like, oh no, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And
dude,
this was in Missouri.
This all happened right in 2017, right at the end of 2017.
Okay.
I graduated nursing school. I told my parents, hey, let's book tickets. I want to fly out to Phoenix, see what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was ironically, God knows what you want in your heart, because years ago I knew I wanted to move to Phoenix. I never knew how or when, but
really?
It was there.
Hold on, why Phoenix though? Like, out of, well, I guess Missouri is like in the middle.
Dude, when you live in Springfield, Missouri, bro,
I guess you're right.
Anywhere is better than there. I can tell you that much.
I guess that's right.
So, dude. Yeah, man. And then
but why Phoenix and not like LA, California, or like, you know, New York or Boston?
Cost of living, man. Yeah. It made more sense. Cost of living. There's still a lot of stuff to do here. A lot of outdoor stuff that you could do out here. You know, you got Flagstaff, you got Sedona, you got all kinds. And so it made sense essentially for someone like myself who loves the outdoors and everything. And it's where God told me to come, man. Yeah. I'm not going to question that.
Don't question God, because when you do.
Hey, man, listen, dude. I was so set in stone. When God told me that, dude, I said, nothing's going to stop me.
Yeah.
And nothing did. Dude, my parents, when they heard the first time before I told them that God spoke to me and told me to come to Phoenix, I told them that I wasn't going to take a job as a nurse. Dude, they lost their minds. Everybody freaked out. They're like, what is wrong with you? Giving up this stable job, this great opportunity. You just went into debt with all your student loans to get this degree, all this stuff, right? Yeah. I said, I just don't want to do it. I know it's not for me and it's not my calling.
There you go.
I just knew. And it's like one of those things you just know and you just have to do it. And especially when God guides you and leads you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I moved out here to Phoenix. Long story short, got into residential assisted living. And I knew about it from my aunt back in Springfield.
Okay. She did it over there.
Yeah. She had a home out there. But it just wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, people's income there is just terrible. You can't make as much money there as you would here in Phoenix. And Phoenix is essentially like the hub for them. So came out here, had no idea what I was doing. No idea. Dude, I couldn't afford to like pay anybody to mentor me or guide me or anything. Yeah.
You basically did everything from the bottom up, man.
Bottom up, dude. Yeah. Moved out.
This is
to
why
Phoenix.
I wanted to interview, bro.
Yeah, dude. Listen, when I moved out here, looking back on it, you know, 2 years come January, because January 1st of 2018 is when I moved out here. So, man, was it a ride, dude.
Yeah,
I'm telling
you. I bet.
Like the moment I got out here, I didn't know anybody. Uh-huh. I didn't have any idea where to start. So when I hear people make up excuses about, you know, they can't figure something out or they don't have enough information. They're still researching. They're doing, man, it's all crap. It's all lies, dude.
Yep.
The best way you're gonna learn is essentially from experience.
Just doing it, man.
Getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting it done. So
I totally agree, man.
Man, got scammed 20 G's.
Ooh.
First 3 months that I was out here. Yeah, talk about getting freaking
all in on that one.
Hey, man. I jumped off that cliff, bro, and I landed straight with my face on the ground, bro. It was bad. So got scammed because I was told one thing and it was not.
It wasn't
all.
what you
were. Dude, I was running
for.
In circles, and this person was telling me this is how to do things. Yeah, man. So learned really quickly.
I learned really quickly,
really fast, right? That whole saying of fail fast, fail forward.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And at one point, 4 months in, I called my mom and I was like, Mom, like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I knew I'm never going back to Springfield. Like, I knew that was my last drive, like motivation. You know, people always ask, where do you get your motivation
What's
from?
What's your why?
Dude, my motivation was, dude, listen, at this point I was completely broke.
Yeah.
I had run this thing into the ground. I didn't even have.
Did you have the home yet, or you just?
I had the home, but it wasn't even a residential system. There was nothing there. I haven't even created anything.
Yeah,
I didn't
even
get a license for anything.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have anything at all.
So you had the building, you had the real estate, but you just didn't have anything else.
No, yeah. And so, dude, I was sitting in my bed and I was running a halfway house. And if people misinterpret, they kind of interchange those things, like halfway house. Mine was mainly for like mental illnesses. And dude, it was scary to ever go to the home because I would have like six or seven people in there who were paying me their social security of like a few hundred dollars to live there. And they were just all kinds of, you know, unstable. And dude, it was scary. But
And you lived there as well, and it didn't pay the bills.
I literally was in the red every month for four months straight, losing money, just and on top of getting scammed 20 G's. And yeah, so, dude, at one point I was laying in my bed in an apartment I couldn't afford.
Oh, so you didn't live at the home?
I didn't live at the home. I was gonna, in the beginning, but I wasn't.
I was like, well, if you had all those people going, unstable people.
And so I was living in an apartment I couldn't afford, and I was sitting on my laying on my bed one day, and I still remember clear as day, dude, what this was like, this feeling. I was sitting there, and I just started bawling, man. I started crying, and I just said, God, save me. Like, here I am again. Like, I need your help. And I remember thinking to myself, I am not going back to Springfield, Missouri. I literally told myself that. Like, I am not going back there. Like, God took me out of there, and he's not allowing me to go back. Yeah, it's kind of like Moses, right? They're not going back to Egypt, bro. They just keep going forward. So that's what it was like, man. And I sat there, and I just cried. And then my mom called me, like, the next day or a couple days after, and she was like, listen, it's okay. Like, just come back home. Like, people fail. Like, it's fine. Like, don't be so prideful. So my mom, dude, my last ray of hope, my last support was just, like, done. Long story short, man, God just guided me. I went to the school, got my manager certificate, got my caregiver certificate, even though I had all this other stuff, like, but it hadn't been transferred over yet to Arizona. So essentially I couldn't practice anywhere. I couldn't do anything. And I did all this within like 2 months, I believe. Like a month.
You did it pretty quick then.
I did it really quickly. Like once I knew what I had to do. And so I got my caregiver certificate, started applying for the home that I currently had that I was renting to do all the business stuff out of, to get licensed as an assisted living home. So I started learning the ropes. The way that happened was DHS, Department of Health Services, showed up at my door one day randomly doing a like compliance check. And I wasn't licensed. The home had a previous license on it from the previous owner of the business. And so their license was active on a home that was not supposed to have any type of mental, because that's behavioral.
Yeah, exactly.
And so she walks in, the surveyor walks in. She's like, who are you? I was like, I'm the owner. You know, like, that's all.
And then you're like, who are you?
And I was like, and who are you? And I knew when I saw her ID, dude, my stomach dropped. I never felt anxiety till that day. Like, I didn't ever know what anxiety was until that day. I thought I was going to prison for sure. I was like, what I'm doing right now is so bad, like, so illegal. And she was just like, listen, like, you need to come by our office. Like, I completely understand you're naive and, like, oblivious to everything that's going on. She saw that I was young. And she saw that, like, I really had no idea what I was doing. She saw how vulnerable I was. And I just straight up kept it honest with her. And, like, at that point, she was just like, listen, just come by our office. We'll show you the ropes, tell you what you need to do.
And there's your mentor.
Well, so she essentially, sort of, you know, people get scared of surveyors in the state and stuff, but essentially they're here to protect the public. And so, like, I learned really quickly, like, they're not here to, like, destroy me and ruin my business.
They're not there to try to shut you down.
They're here to make sure I'm in compliance and, like, make sure I'm protecting the public, you know?
Exactly.
And, really quickly I learned, and she was just like, come by her office. So I did, and they taught me exactly what I needed to do, send in to get that previous license closed and deactivated, reapply for my own license, get rezoned and everything. So they essentially taught me the ropes there. But regardless, it was all God. Like, God, was all God. I mean, that lady, all she had to do was like, you're done. Go back home. Like, don't ever show your face up.
She would have shut you guys down real quick, or down real quick. You know what I mean?
She could have fined me. She could have sent me to jail. She could have done a million different things, and only God was protecting me there. And I give him all the glory. But yeah, and so from there, I went and did everything, got my manager's certificate, got licensed in May of 2018, which that was a whole nother thing. And when I was getting my manager certificate, that's where I met my consultant to do all my paperwork, to get all that done.
Okay.
And she was like, hey, this is how much it's going to cost you. And
Where did you meet her?
At the manager school, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was teaching one of the classes, and I went up, you know, a lot of people are like, how do you find mentors and stuff? I remember. I was sitting there, and I was like, dang, this lady really knows a lot. She's very real. She's not just kind of like reading the lectures as it's presented. She's like
giving real life examples.
Yeah. And I was like, dang, I'm going to go up to her afterwards and see if she could help me out.
Yeah.
And so I went and I told her my situation. She was like, oh my goodness. She's like, I'll help you. And yeah.
Wait, you put that puppy dog eye
in. Yeah. I was like, please, I'm begging you. And she did, man. She was like, all right, listen, meet up with me tomorrow back here. I'll bring some paperwork that you need to fill out so I know exactly what you need. And I did. And she was like, listen, this is all going to cost 3 G's.
Yeah.
And dude, I had $1,000 left. Like, that's it, man. And yeah. I looked at her. I said, listen, this is all I have left. Like, would you please just take this and like, I'll eventually pay you back. Yeah. Like the remaining amount.
We'll work it out kind of deal.
Yeah. And she did, man. She helped me out. She guided me through it all, like helped me with my first inspection, my initial inspection, got the home all set up, had an open house, had a great turnout.
Wow.
She had a lot of connections. And so she sent me all of her connections and everything.
That's awesome.
God really provided, man. God really came through in a way that I'll never be able to like express. So yeah, that's what I do, man, is residential assisted living. And yeah, I take care of the elderly, dude, the most vulnerable population.
Yeah, man. And that industry too. Like, that's why I got into nursing and like the hospital and all that. It's because it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, that no matter how hard,
man, it's that saying, as you know, make the cat come to you.
Yeah.
Don't go to the cat.
Exactly.
You got the food, right?
So you got
the services, you got the needs that other families and the services that
they need.
Mm-hmm. They're going to pay. They're going to do what they need to.
Yeah. And essentially you got a recession proof kind of a business because no matter what, people get old, you know.
Exactly.
I just turned 28 and I'm like, my knees are hurting. Before the rain came, I was like, why is my knee hurting? And so I instantly knew the rain was coming.
Yeah. And so it makes sense from a business perspective. It makes complete sense. And that's why I got into it, you know, and I realized, wow, okay, I'm providing a service to people that they need.
Yeah.
Not that they want, because I mean, you could sell stuff that people want.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not recession bulletproof.
Yeah.
It's not long-term wise. It could work out. You know, not everybody needs Nike shoes, but it's the fact that they're fulfilling the need of somebody else,
or like you had a purpose for what you're doing.
And they want to be part of something, right?
Yeah,
part
exactly.
Of, yeah. So,
dude, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so from there.
Yeah, I was gonna say from there. You started up your assisted living, and then you basically are leveraging. You started a YouTube channel. So this whole podcast is about entrepreneurship, faith, and you totally have that full circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you had faith in God to trust in everything. You started a business from ground up, $20,000 down, you barely had any money, moving from Missouri, coming over to Arizona, and now I see your stuff on Instagram on YouTube.
Yeah.
And what are you doing with YouTube, man?
Yeah, so this was still within the first year of me starting all this. Uh-huh. And it was again around this time of the year last year, September 23rd is when I uploaded my very first video.
Yeah. I bet you that feeling was amazing too. Like you had.
It was funny because I was very anti like social media and I was very shy. Uh-huh. I was kind of like,
we're gonna need to talk about that a little bit.
I'm very introvert, and my best friend had started a YouTube channel like 3 months before. So like in July, I believe. Uh-huh. Or June.
When was it? 17, you said, or 18?
18.
Okay.
2018. So he started his channel June 2018, and he had come out to visit me in August of 2018.
Okay.
And at that point, I was very depressed. Mm-hmm. I was actually depressed, not just sad.
Was it because of just the business itself, or you just...
Business, it's just everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I was at a point where I was like, man.
Yeah.
what is this life?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a man of faith, but man, men of faith, do they get challenged in ways.
Oh yeah, definitely. Others, God will throw you a storm.
Oh my. I'm telling you,
he'll
it was something. So,
you know, he knows we can handle it.
Oh yeah.
Just as long, you know what I mean?
I push through, man. And yeah. So I definitely sympathize with people that go through that phase of depression during entrepreneurship, you know? And he had come out and he was like visiting me for like about a week. And he was like, dude, let's do a video for my channel. He had, you know, maybe a few subscribers, you know, no big deal.
Hey, man, a few subscribers is a few subscribers.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, sure, dude, why not? Like, yeah. He was like, just talk about, like, what you've gone through so far. Like, you know, because his is a business YouTube channel as well.
Okay.
And I was like, sure, why not? So we started filming. And instantly, man, I was like, dude, I love this.
I
fell in love with getting interviewed and then also like being in front of a camera.
Yeah. Okay.
And also like just casually talking to my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Just having
and
a conversation.
The fact that people would listen, you know, and just like how we are right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, at that point I was like, I have to do this. I have to get a camera.
Uh-huh.
And man, I mean, whatever money I could get, I bought, you know, my G7X that I still have.
Yeah.
And I remember buying it on Amazon and it showed up like,
by the way, this is a great starter. The Canon G7X is a great starter, like YouTube camera. You don't have to worry about like audio and all that stuff.
No,
and it's just, it's super, super simple where you can just turn it on.
And I still use it today.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go, man.
So when it came in, dude, I instantly opened up that box. It was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I opened up that box like a kid on Christmas. Dude, I pulled out the camera and
like, ah!
I had no idea what I was doing yet again.
Yeah.
Right. I had no idea how to edit.
Yeah.
I had never used the platform on the MacBook. I forget what it's.
iMovie.
iMovie. Yes. Yeah, yeah. It was iMovie. I didn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Did a few tutorials on YouTube and I was like, I'll figure out the rest later. Yeah. Dude, my first video was terrible. It was terrible. Like, I mean, I was like editing, cutting like mid sentence. If you guys go watch my first video,
hey, plug in your channel real quick. Plug in your channel.
It's just Serge Lupescu.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys can find me on there on YouTube. But yeah, man, just the same way that I started my residential assisted living home was the same way I started my channel.
Yeah.
And
from the bottom up, man.
From the
bottom up. And that's how everybody. That's why I started my YouTube channel as well. Is just because I wanted to record my journey on niching down on an actual topic where I can try to grow out my audience.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what you did, starting from bottom. Whoever wants to start a YouTube channel, you guys need to know that it's going to be a struggle. You know what I mean? Like,
what
like
are the tips?
Serge has experience.
Yeah. What are the tips I'd give to people? First tip I would do is just get started.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday. I had no reason to even film. I didn't even have any content ideas. I had no idea what I was going to film. I said, you know what? My first video is going to be about me, like what people need to know about me.
Yeah.
And kind of just give a quick summary about myself.
Exactly. And why people should follow your channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And man, I mean, that video probably got a few views, whatever, nothing crazy. And, you know, I promoted it like crazy on all my social media platforms if I was like some hot shot.
I got a YouTube channel.
Yeah. 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 But I wasn't afraid or ashamed of anything. Like,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people would be like, dude, really? You're going to do YouTube now too?
Yeah.
Like anybody else out there that's trying to start a channel. At this point, I had reached a point where I was like, I'm not even afraid of anybody.
That's
I don't care what anybody will say.
Yeah.
And that really motivated me. And visualization is very powerful because when I started my channel, I knew at some point it will get monetized. It will eventually lead to more opportunities.
Yeah.
I visualized it. I had no reason to believe it, right?
Yeah.
Success is just delayed gratification.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
It's the whole concept of Chinese bamboo. You know, it's that thing, when you plant it, it takes 5 years of you constantly watering it,
making
sure nurturing
it's growing,
And then after 5 years, you'll see a sprout, and then within like a few weeks, the thing grows like 8 feet or whatever.
Crazy.
That's how success is, and that's how a channel is. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Just so
it's the same with Instagram. It's the same with a podcast. Yeah. Anything that you're trying to grow, essentially, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And so.
And I knew the opportunities that would come from YouTube. You know, because Instagram, you can try to grow it and everything. You probably won't.
And that's why
video makes way much more impact.
That's why I moved on to the YouTube thing. That's why I started my second channel, is because Instagram, I've been trying to grow it for years, but it's not going to make me money. You know, Instagram doesn't monetize.
Yeah.
And so Instagram is basically just a channel or a marketing channel for me to try to drive traffic over as a funnel to YouTube. And that's why I essentially did that. And that's.
Yeah. So, you know, with YouTube, I was like, okay, where? So my first couple of videos, I try to just figure out, I talked about random topics, credit cards, things like randomly. I was like trying
your interest basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was too, way too broad.
Yeah.
I mean, Graham Stephan was killing the game, still is. In the whole financial, like, business category. And so it's like, okay, why would anybody watch me instead of Graham Stephan? Like, you know, what do I have? I'm some little dude, like...
Yeah.
You know, and I was too broad. And there, I was like, okay, what am I currently doing that I can talk about that...
That you have experience niche, in and that has, people are interested in.
Yeah. And that's very niche specific.
Exactly.
And that's what I would tell a lot of people. Talk about what you're actually doing and be very niche specific when it comes to creating a channel. And that's what I did. I was like, dude, I do residential assisted living. It's a great business model. I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah, there you go.
And my first residential assisted living video was performed the best out of like the first 10 videos that I made.
Yeah.
It was within the first 10 videos. And I realized something. I was like, this could work.
Yeah.
And I said, all right. And I just started pumping out videos. My first month, I posted a video every single day. Looking back on it.
Yeah.
And I would like promote it on my social. I was annoying.
You were the spammer.
Dude, I was that guy.
That's what it
is. I was that guy, man. And so here's a piece of advice for all of y'all. Do not do that.
Yeah, because
you will lose followers.
Yeah, and that's funny because I've actually, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and that's how essentially I got into all this all business stuff and like figuring out all this stuff. Entrepreneurship,
great book, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It changed my life, man. Yeah. So I got into reading a lot more, and so I'm reading, and there was a book I picked up by Sean, I think his last name is Sean Cannell or whatever. Mm-hmm. He does video influencer, and in the book it says, don't be one of the topics was don't be a spammer when you first start your YouTube channel, because people will get annoyed and they'll actually not watch your stuff.
Yep.
Because they're like, dude, we follow you because we know you, not because
We want to support you.
Yeah, we want to support you, but we don't care.
Don't be annoying.
Don't be annoying. And so that's funny that you even said that, because you probably haven't even, you didn't even.
I didn't know. Exactly. I didn't know. I was trying to figure it out just like anybody else.
Yeah.
And okay, I was like, all right. And I did that for like, dude, I mean, I did that.
Every single day, man?
Every single day I would promote it for like 2 months straight.
Yeah.
Every day on my stories, everything, dude. And it was annoying. And but like me uploading, I did it every single day for a month. And then I slowed down. I said, all right, I'm going to do 3 times a week for like a few months. I think I did like 3-4 months where I uploaded 3 times a week.
Uh-huh.
And then after about like 6-7 months in, I was like, I'm going to only upload twice a week. But I didn't stop. I stopped promoting it after about 2 months every single day.
Yeah.
And I was like,
every single day. See, I promote my stuff, but it's like once a week.
Yeah. So I stopped. I stopped completely like even mentioning YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, and like whatever.
You just let it go.
Casually. Yeah. Casually, I would like here and there, if I did a collab with my buddy or something, I would like promote it. But like I stopped, you know, and I was like, dude, I only have like, now I have 500 followers, but at the time I had like maybe 200-300 followers or something. I was like, dude, these are like people I know, like they're, you know, they know I'm on YouTube. They don't need to know like whatever. Yeah. Facebook really helped, surprisingly. Facebook, I would promote on there quite a bit. I did.
Yeah, actually, I look at my analytics, and my first video, a lot of the people that came that drove the traffic was from YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, just having that little post on YouTube, it actually really helps.
Yeah.
Every other channel or like every other platform didn't really do well.
Yeah.
YouTube, I mean, Facebook was really the one that really pushed it.
And I still do it on Facebook. I'll still put it on my personal.
Yeah, I see it. So.
So, like Facebook, I don't really care too much about. I usually just do it because I can share it on my group.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. Now that I have my Facebook group and stuff of my members, I just share it on there and everything. Yeah. But yeah, so that essentially my whole channel, once I realized like, okay, my first residential assisted living video did good.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, I'm going to keep talking about this topic. I'm going to continue like you know, getting more in depth about certain things and giving value. Providing value, yeah. And as any good entrepreneur knows,
and you have to provide value for people to be your audience or to listen to you.
Like even follow you or take you seriously. And that's what I started doing, and I started seeing growth like crazy.
Oh yeah, I bet your analytics were you just see that graph going up.
It was exciting to always check out my analytics, you know, and which at one point I got so caught up in like the numbers.
I remember when we were talking about that. You were saying we when was that? The first time we met, I think it was at the coffee shop.
Yeah, because it was earlier this year when we met. Because
at that time I was vlogging, and vlogging it's a very broad niche and it's oversaturated. Yeah. Everybody
like what's
no one cares about a Filipino kid that lives out in Arizona, Gilbert.
Exactly.
So that's why I started my vlog channel because I wanted my own memories. But then I started looking into like, oh, I can make money on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. But so then that's why I started my second niche down. And when you were talking about it, when we first met, you were like, yeah, I always look at my analytics all the time.
It became an addiction. It was pretty bad.
I remember that. That's
and so, yeah, man. And at one point, because I was just trying to hit that threshold of 1,000 subscribers to get monetized and the watch time. The watch hours.
How many? 40,000, right? 40,000, I think.
40,000 hours and 1,000 subscribers. Yeah, that's the threshold, and that's hard. Yeah, it's hard, man.
Oh yeah,
it's, YouTube makes you work for it, and you can't cheat the system. There's no way to cheat it. It's
except one girl. Have you heard of that one chick, the van life chick?
I saw the video. You know, it's funny.
2.something million subscribers.
It's crazy.
Already.
It's crazy. But yeah, so it was crazy because. Once I finally hit my threshold, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I'm going to start making money now. My vids are, you know, going to be monetized, which opened up a lot of different doors for me. And my whole channel, dude, there are two other gurus out there talking about this topic of residential assisted living. And they're very like, it's all butterflies and blue skies and
oh really
there wasn't much like, value
they tell you the good stuff and not really the hard
or just the reality of things don't give you much value and that's what inspired the channel. And once I realized that, I was like, all right, like this is gonna be amazing because here I am with all this value from everything I've just learned within a time frame of a year.
Yeah, I was gonna say you did it in a pretty short amount of time to build that assisted living, to start your YouTube channel.
Dude, and
to move from Missouri all the way over to Arizona out of nowhere. You know what I mean? You did it in a short amount of time, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so what people don't know is, so January of this year, I moved out of my apartment I couldn't afford, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw that also.
Okay. And when I moved out of my apartment, I was like, okay, where am I going to live? So I lived at the business for a while, for 5 months. But what people don't know is, because my employees were, you know, live in and they worked there and everything, I didn't sleep in my home. I slept in my car. And I slept in the garage with the garage cracked open, my windows cracked open at night.
And you slept in your car?
I slept in my car for 5 months straight up. And I would go park out by the LA Fitness. I used to work out at, off of Greenfield in 60. I used to go park on the side because nobody was ever there. I would just pass out there, you know, during the day or something, like whatever.
And just sleep.
And to sleep, So that's, dude, it was.
That's nuts. Yeah. So you got rid of your apartment.
And I was still filming YouTube videos in my garage at the business.
No way.
Yeah. So there's like there's a stretch of videos where it's just dark in the background.
That's what that is. Okay. And I thought it was just like your office or something.
No, I was using the lighting off my laptop.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what you call a true hustler, guys. Like, if you want to follow Serge, just check out his stuff. And this is a true entrepreneur right here.
Yeah.
Live down 20,000, living out of his car, sleeping in his car, and just figuring out.
Filming videos out of my garage.
Yeah, exactly.
With the little mic that I bought off Amazon for $20, which I still have and use occasionally.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So then after you lived in your car, because I've seen this also on your social, after you lived out of your car for 5 months and you did all that, you essentially got a home.
Yeah, so my whole thing was like, I don't want to, because I gave up, be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a phrase that stuck with me for a very long time. And I knew that me living in my car is super uncomfortable right now, which I there's days where I miss it because it really tested me and put me in like a really uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to be uncomfortable. I could go get an apartment or go get something, sleep in a bed, like get an Airbnb, whatever. Like I could have done anything to like.
But that's money down also. Like,
that's money out of my pocket that I couldn't afford, to be honest. Like, yes, I have this business and people will be like, oh, you're not profitable yet? No. It's not that simple. Like it was really hard and it still is. And I, I worked up to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to just like keep all my money, whatever, and work on building my credit and everything and try to get a home.
Yeah.
And I reached out. Well, I had this really good coworker that I used to work with back in the day in Springfield at the hospital. And he was trying to get into business with me.
Okay.
And so he had a lot of capital that he was willing to invest.
Ooh, hold on. Real quick. So I got into real estate also. And so like, I a lot of people don't understand, like if you have a partner that you want to get into business with and you have no capital, leverage that because you have the knowledge and they have the money.
Yep.
And so when you partner up, it makes a good, like it makes a good partnership because
it's beautiful.
Go on, Serge. I'm excited for this, man.
So so him and I had tried to do something. He had come out here in October of 2018, trying to get into residential assisted living and everything. I told him, I literally, dude, he could have made so many mistakes if he had not reached out to me and tried to do something on his own, which he did reach out to me. And so he came out here and I showed him the ropes and everything. And I was like, hey, listen, this is what it's really like. This is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't come across an opportunity that was good enough for us to take.
Now, in assisted living?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't find the right property. We couldn't find the right business. Whatever it was, none of it added up. Like, we couldn't just find the...
It wasn't
tried.
A good,
we tried.
It wasn't a good deal.
At the time when you and I met, I was mentioning that, you know, we were under contract on a specific residential assisted living business.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was with him.
Oh, I see.
But that didn't go through because they couldn't prove the financials and stuff didn't add up. And it just didn't make sense for us to invest in. So we didn't end up going through with that. So the same business partner. I don't have a business partner with my current residential assisted living home. This was just...
That's all you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I took out a loan and everything to like...
Startup,
yeah.
And must have been a pretty big loan.
Yeah. And so, anyway, so with him, you know, we were still like looking and everything. And I was like, man, let's just get a home that's suitable for me, like, you know, something that where I could live and then where we can do Airbnb out of as well.
Okay.
And try to work on building something like that. And he was like, all right, like, you know, I think it could make sense. Like, I see maybe we could do it. But we were very picky about the property that we wanted to get.
Mm-hmm.
He leveraged Mike. So we both had good credit scores. Mm-hmm. But it being my first home, he leveraged that to be able to put a lesser down payment. So we only put a down payment of 5%.
FHA loan?
No, we did. We did conventional.
Okay.
But we still put 5% down.
Oh, wow.
Because both of our scores were good.
Yeah.
We had all the capital we needed. The bank was comfortable. Everything made sense. Got an interest rate of 4.375.
Nice.
All that. So he leveraged me and I leveraged his financials.
Yeah,
and then he also leveraged me being out here. And so I set up the whole Airbnb business.
Yeah. And that's awesome. So essentially that's what, what Serge is doing is basically called house hacking.
Yeah.
So it's when you buy a home, but you leverage it to own an Airbnb, or you can do it as rental also.
Or
where
residential assisted living.
Yeah. Or that. And then you rent out like each room per 500 per person or 600 per person, you know what I mean, to live in that home. But Airbnb right now, it's a big thing because a lot of people actually like to visit Arizona.
Yeah.
How is your setup? First of all, how's the setup on your real estate? Like how does it, like your home? Cause I know that you don't actually live in it. You have a house in the back or like a.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we ended up going, so Jeremiah and I met in like February or March. It was like early spring. That was when we were still trying to figure everything out. And then at that point, yeah, I was living in my car when I met Jeremiah. He didn't know that, but I was.
he was talking about van life too.
yeah. And I'm still into that.
I remember that, but I didn't know that he was living out of his car.
I was technically kind of doing
Yeah, you were kind of van lifing it.
G35. So leading up to that, I was like, all right. And when him and I finally agreed, all right, let's go down this path of getting an Airbnb home, something to do. But we got to get something to where you can live in. Like, I'm not going to just like, really great friend, very caring. He was like, listen, I'm not going in this deal with you, like knowing you still live in a car. Like, we got to get you a place. Like, we have to make this work.
Yeah.
So
see, that's a true partnership right there, where you care about each other.
It's not just a business deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, dude, I was in my garage on my futon in there at the business. It was like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I was on YouTube watching my now real estate agent, but he had a channel and I was just looking up different types of loans and everything. And his page came up and I was watching his videos and I was like, all right, this guy's chill. Like, so I reached out to him. I mean, I sent him a DM, I emailed him. I even tried to call him and everything, texted him everything,
everything in the universe. That I was like,
hey man,
I
need
to get
in touch with you. Like, you seem like very knowledgeable about a lot of this stuff. I could use your services.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he reached out finally, like a couple days later, and I told him what I was trying to do with my business partner.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the type of home we're going to need. And within 2 weeks, man, or 2 to 3 weeks, we were looking at like, so we went and got pre-approved. We didn't even know what we were going to get pre-approved for. We're like, we have no idea. So we finally got pre-approved. We didn't even know if we were going to get pre-approved with how we were trying to set up the entire deal.
And is this a conventional bank that you guys went to get pre-approved, or did you?
So we went to Guild Mortgage.
Okay.
And they're the ones that did the whole mortgage and everything and the whole lending.
Yeah.
And great people, great company, great business.
Plug.
Plug. You're welcome, Lizzie. She also has her own channel. But anyways, did a video with her. But she, so essentially got pre-approved and then we started looking for houses. And what essentially I was looking for was the main house is what we're going to do Airbnb out of.
Yeah,
but I needed a separate part of the house for myself, like a guest house or a casita of a sort. So everything we looked at, dude, was like, I mean, there was nothing in Mesa, nothing in Gilbert. There was within our price range, within our budget.
Yeah, out here it's getting, because the housing market's so good right now.
Yeah,
it's just
the houses that had what we were looking for the criteria that we were looking for was like in the ghetto, like not ghetto, but like it was pretty run down. It wasn't a great neighborhood. Probably wasn't going to be great for Airbnb.
Yeah. It's kind of like what I'm trying to do right now. So I'm trying to find a duplex.
Yeah.
So essentially that's kind of like what I want to do with what you're doing is I want to live out of one, rent out the other.
Right.
And then flip flop to renovate whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so all the duplexes that I'm seeing are all out in ghetto Phoenix, ghetto Chandler. You know what I mean? Like, it's sketchy.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, I'm only going to live there for a couple years or a year at least. And then I head out. And so I'm like, okay, do I leverage my safety?
Exactly. I mean? Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you. So I was like, man, this is not going to work for what we're trying to do.
Like all these
different homes. And so I went and I was doing all like mainly all the work. My real estate agent, I would just use him to just like show me the houses. I'd be like, yo.
Yeah.
Call up the other agent.
Did he give you the MLS and you were looking?
Yeah, dude. I was looking on Flex MLS. I was looking on Zillow, Realtor.com, all of that, you know.
But
I would verify everything once I found something to make sure it was still active, you know, and it was still for sale before I sent it to my real estate agent. And I mean, within 2 weeks, man, we were looking, I think I looked at like 10 to 20 homes. I mean, I was every day.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's an addiction.
Yeah. I was like, I need to find something soon.
Yeah.
Like ASAP. I'm done living at summer was coming up. I was like, I couldn't, you know.
Brutal.
Yeah. So
it was hot. It was going towards the time. Yeah. When I first met you, it was going towards the time of spring and it was getting warmer.
Yeah. It was getting warmer, but it wasn't getting hot.
Yeah.
It was probably like still 70, 80, 90.
Yeah. But out of a car, it's hot.
Out of a car, it's hot. Yeah. And my AC, long story short. But so eventually we ended up, you know, finding the right property.
Yeah.
And I remember I increased the amount that I was like, you know, by like 10, 15,000 from what we got pre-qualified for.
Okay.
And dude, the home popped up in Central Phoenix. And I was like, off of 7th Ave.
Yeah.
And I was like,
ooh, that's perfect location, man.
I was like, dang, that's a beautiful home.
Yeah.
And it was just like $10,000, $15,000 above our pre-qualification.
Uh-huh.
And I go there, man. I'm like, I'm going to just drive by there, just see the area first, like scope it all out.
Yeah.
Advise everybody to do that. You know,
yeah.
When they're buying
go look at the property yourself.
Go through different times of the day. Go, you know, see what's up.
Yeah.
See what the neighborhood's like. And also, I was doing a ton of research on Airbnb, and I was like, all right, you know, they're getting pretty decent amounts for, you know, and they look like they're pretty booked and everything. And I was like, all right. So I go there, and I walk. I'm like, I see the house, and I instantly knew.
Yeah, you fell in love with it, huh?
I was like, this is the one.
Yeah.
And I walked in the back, and in the back, there was a Bible verse, and I believe, I still recall,
you look it up.
Yeah. It was a Bible verse, and I'll have to tell you right now real quick what the Bible verse was.
So 7th Ave, so if you take the 202, exit off 7th Ave, it's how far is it from there?
So if you exit out on Indian School Road, actually.
Oh, Indian School, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's prime location where it's good for...
Yeah, it's Central Phoenix, it's close to the Biltmore. It's also by Melrose as well. This was the Bible verse, and it was engraved in the concrete, and it said... It's Matthew 19:26.
Uh-huh.
With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Yep.
And dude, honestly, like, I just got chills reading that because
I just got goosebumps.
Dude, because this whole thing was not supposed to work out.
Yeah.
With everything I was given, you know, I didn't know if it was going to work out. We didn't know what we were going to get pre-qualified and everything for.
Yeah.
So I called my real estate agent up and I said, dude, come here now. I want to see the house.
Yeah.
Let's put an offer in. And we got pre-qualified for 365. The home was listed for 375, I believe. Yeah.
So
375.
10 over.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, this is our offer, 350.
Yeah.
With closing costs.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, you sure? I was like, yeah. We run comps around there. They're like, there's no offers on the table as of right now. And this house had been on the market for a little while.
Oh, it's been on the market for...
They had no offers. It's been on the market for a little while.
Oh, I bet they were desperate. They were just trying to get rid of that.
The next day, he calls back. He said, hey, man, it seems that, you know, there's a few investors involved in this property.
Yeah.
A lot of them feel like they came back with the counter at $350 with no closing costs.
Okay.
And I was like, no, stick to $350.
With closing.
Yeah, with closing.
Yeah, okay.
And he calls back an hour later, and they're like, hey, they took the offer.
Hey, there you go. And that's exciting.
Dude, I remember I was driving back to the business, and, dude, I was like, God, you are so good.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
You, this is all you. Like, yeah. And the house was, it's still in pristine. You know, we went in there and got all of our inspections and got warranty and did all that. They, you know, got a new AC unit in my part of the house. So my part of the house
So they rebuilt some stuff and
The whole thing was remodeled and everything. It's a beautiful home. And it's perfect for Airbnb too.
Yeah.
And so my part, it's attached to the home, but it's separated completely. Like, it has its own entrance.
Yeah.
It has the wall, like, it's
separated.
It's its own building. So, full kitchen, studio, dude, it's the most amazing, like, setup ever.
That's perfect, a great setup, man.
Dude, if you come see it, you'll love it. Like, any dude any person that's ever visited me, they're like, dude, you got quite the setup. The kitchen, all white cabinets, self-closing, like, cabinets, everything's beautiful.
Dude.
Like, shower.
And that's in your part, right?
Yeah, my part. The whole house is the same style. Like,
okay,
it's all, you know, very beautiful.
So they made sure it matched.
Yeah.
And if it's investors, too, they'll invest in good...
Quality stuff. It was built quality. And so, if I ever move out of that portion of the house, I could Airbnb it too. So, it's essentially like a duplex.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. So, God is good, man. That's all I got to say. And so, I moved in, set up the whole Airbnb within 2 weeks of closing. It was like 2.5 weeks, I think. It was pretty quickly. I mean, we had
that's pretty quick.
we had everything like pre-ordered and whatnot, like ready to go. And
you're like, I want to get this done.
the total investment with the down payment and getting everything on Airbnb set up was like 40 G's, give or take. So,
okay.
That's
out of pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Out of pocket, 40 G's with the house and everything.
Okay.
I mean, we went straight up, like, you know, got everything set up nicely. So,
yeah.
quality.
And so the return on investment now, you're probably doing really well on your Airbnb.
So when we got started, when we listed it, it was the end of June. Mm-hmm. We closed beginning of June. It was a slow season here in Phoenix. Summertime is always slow. It's dead heat. It's hot.
Yeah.
But dude, my first booking came in 5 days after we listed it. Uh-huh. And then essentially all of July we had over, I think it was like 75% occupancy rate. So 23 nights got booked.
That's really good.
My pricing wasn't where I wanted it to be, but I had to do it that way just to get those reviews, get those bookings, everything. Yeah. It was a huge learning curve. Just like my channel, just like my residential, start from the ground up, learning everything, manipulating the prices, figuring out what the market's doing in that area, everything.
Yeah.
You know, working with it, dude. Yeah. So starting from the ground up yet again.
I feel like that's your hustle, man. Just starting up businesses.
So, you know, what's funny is because I eventually asked myself, like, what is it that I'm very passionate about?
Yeah.
Like, what is it that I enjoy doing? And it's building things from the ground up.
Yeah. And I feel like you've gotten so much experience just doing that essentially that's, you're getting really efficient in it.
there's something beautiful about it.
It's just the feeling of building something. Yeah. I feel like.
And see it come to fruition.
Yeah, exactly. And it actually is working out for you. And that's, it's amazing that you have so much faith in God, and that's what makes it even 10 times better because you don't just trust in yourself to do everything.
No way.
Yeah. And so, dude, man, like, your story is ridiculously crazy and I love it.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I hope that everybody that is listening right now is just getting motivated to just get started, you know? What Serge said in the very beginning of this podcast, he just said, if you're going to do something, just do it now and start it now.
Yeah.
And so that's your story, man. I'm so blessed to hear it and just so excited to hear it. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, man.
I would tell anybody, dude, just keep at it, man.
Yeah.
And, I was having a conversation with my little brother, and the dude's trying to figure things out.
Yeah,
he's 20 years old. And
he got time. Gary Vee always says, you got time.
Well, you don't, man. Life passes you by in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And there's times where I told him, I said, listen, you can't just give up when it gets hard.
Yeah.
If anything, it's harder to give up and then start something and get from the ground up.
Exactly.
You're going to be running in circles. You're going to be like a gerbil. You know, you're going to be like running in the same spot constantly.
Exactly.
If you're not progressing, you're dying.
Yeah.
If you're not learning, you're dying.
Exactly.
And every day, you know, I know you love to read.
Yeah.
I see that all the time when you're posting and stuff. And I highly suggest, I wasn't a huge reader like 2 years ago.
Me neither, dude.
And
I hated reading.
I can say, dude, reading has changed my life.
I agree.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? With the whole, I brought it up. Rich Dad Poor Dad was what it started it all. But I also, when I started reading more, I started even reading my Bible and digging deeper into my relationship with God.
Yes.
And that's what really changed my, like, me personally and my faith is just, I got stronger just because of that reading aspect. I hated reading. Like my friends always make fun of me because back then, like, we had this on a podcast. He told me, he was like, hey, JP, try reading this book. I was like, nah, bro, I don't read at all. Like, let me watch the movie. Whenever the movie's coming out.
Tell
me about it. I'll watch the movie.
Yeah.
But now reading a book and, like, reading itself, it's just a very amazing concept of how people can write something amazing and it's always going to be in that book where you can learn for years. You know what I mean? Years of experience. Exactly. And the Bible itself also is like, a lot of people don't understand it, but like if you dig deeper into it, there's so much you can get out of it.
There's so much to get out of it. And there's nowadays, man, I mean, you can buy the Life Application Bible that I have.
Yeah.
And it, you know, at the bottom, it explains each verse.
Exactly.
In our language of understanding things.
Like,
and
understanding
breaking
what
down
it is
things
now
to a more easier level to comprehend, you know, and dude, I'm the same way, man. Like, reading, when I started reading, I mean, at this point, I think I've read, like, I mean, tons of books now. But, dude, I just, like, I lose myself in reading.
Yeah.
Like, it's so important because, like you're saying, there's so much knowledge within those pages of years of knowledge from someone who's gone through stuff. Like, Shoe Dog, I don't know if you've read that, by Phil Knight, the Nike co-founder.
Uh-huh.
highly suggest that book, dude. That book alone, if you think about it, the co-founder of Nike talks about his whole experience. You think my life is crazy?
Talk about that, yeah.
Go read that guy's book.
Shoe Dog?
Shoe Dog.
Okay, and I'll link it down below, Amazon link.
Yeah. But, dude, I'm telling you, there's so much, like, so much knowledge there, and it's such a good book, because not only does he give like his life story, which I love stories always sell, but it's so amazing to see his entire journey and how you're not alone.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you're not crazy.
I'm going to have to pick up that book.
You're not crazy for going through what you're going through, and for sacrificing what you're sacrificing, and for feeling the way you feel.
Because
a lot of people on this journey of, you know, entrepreneurship, dude, you're not alone. Like
everybody. There's other people that have been.
It, I can tell you right now, it does get easier, because what happens is not easier in the sense of like, what happens is like your level of like being able to tolerate something going on that like a year ago probably would have like ruined you.
Yeah.
You eventually, it just becomes a norm.
Yeah.
So like,
what it doesn't phase you as much because you've gone through it.
Yeah. So, you know, you go through a lot of things that you eventually, it just becomes like a norm. Like the problems of a year ago are just like regular now. Yeah. Like you just, you know, your perspective and everything, how you handle everything is just more broadened, you know, and you learn to just accept it.
Yeah. And I talk about that too, because my whole nursing experience and my whole school experience, it essentially was I was a failure. Like that's how I felt. And I was the same way. I was depressed. I just was. But now that I look at life a different way, and putting my faith fully in God and trusting in Him, and then knowing that if I do fail, I've gone through it. Like I know the feeling, but it's not going to stop. Like essentially it shouldn't stop anybody, because if you fail at something, that means you're learning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's, dude, you put it on point, man.
You
got
like
the arrow
straight
at the target.
Dude, Phil Knight said it at the end of his book. I'm not going to ruin it for you. Read it.
Go read the book, guys. Go read the book.
But dude, he said something so powerful that literally changed my life.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it was so powerful, because it made me feel like, you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
Like you guys need to read it. It's
like the last like I said, I'll put the link at the bottom and go so go check powerful. Out the book. Go
and,
read it.
But that's the power of reading.
Yeah.
Is those little tids and bits, because what happens, like even podcasts, I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and I love podcasts. Dude, I could listen to podcasts all day.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
And in reading too, I could do that all day if that's all I could do. But at the same time, you got to go out there and execute. You know, execution is the...
It's funny because I posted something back then also on my Instagram. I was like, reading can become essentially a burden also, because then you're like getting all this knowledge, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I like all this knowledge. But then myself, I tend to not execute the things that I learn.
Yeah.
And so then that becomes procrastination.
Yep.
So remember that. Reading is amazing, guys.
I call those people success zombies.
they know all the knowledge, but they're not putting it in execution.
Yeah, they take it. They take, but never give. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Guys, I would say, like, don't just, like, give up just because it gets hard. Just because you may feel like there's no progress or nothing's happening. YouTube was one of those things, man, where I didn't see like right away. It was 9 months before I finally got my threshold, you know, and got monetized. And that was me being consistent with it, you know, constantly feeding it and, you know, being consistent with it and
doing, that's what
just
it
doing
is.
It, doing just,
it,
just putting it out there and just continue to like grow and be involved with your audience and, you know, take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're there to watch you.
Yeah.
They're there to listen to you. Exactly. So respect that. Like they're taking time out of their day to do that.
Seth Godin actually wrote a book. It's called Tribes.
Yeah.
And basically that's your tribe. So make sure to take care of your tribe. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
So
they're essentially the ones that are going to keep going to your channel.
Yeah. And so from YouTube, essentially after I got my Airbnb all up and going, I was like, you know what? I'm going to develop an educational program for anybody that wants to learn how to do residential assisted living. So I did.
Plug that in, man.
Yeah. So that's just at legionassistedlivingacademy.com. You know, but that essentially was like, because I would get so many
inquiries and like,
well,
questions,
same questions oftentimes. Also if I did have some type of educational like platform and I launched that at the end, I took a full month where I literally locked myself in my little cool studio looking place and just hammered out
videos
and content educational stuff. Content for my program, dude. And did that, launched that on the day that I gave like my first speech, which wasn't a big speech or anything, but it was cool to just do that.
Oh yeah, it's always awesome to have that platform where you can, it's basically your stage.
Yeah.
Your stage.
Dude, one thing I've noticed though, in this whole journey of entrepreneurship, everybody's obviously is trying to sell you on something, right? Like you're always, they're always trying to tell you why their thing is the best or why you should go with them or how it's going to help your business, whatever, whether it be through apps or anything.
It's ridiculous.
Guys, Instagram. Let me tell you something. Everything that I've done up to this point was very basic. It all starts at very basic things. Like you don't need very many tools to get started with anything.
Exactly.
And same with my residential assisted living, dude. And the same with my YouTube channel, same with my courses, same with my Airbnb, dude. All of that was self-taught. It wasn't really me reaching out to a ton of people needing to buy all their crap to that's the thing about because I don't run ads to my program. I don't do any of that.
It's all
it's organic, natural. Yeah. And I want my students to just feel that and to understand that. And I do one-on-one as well, which I charge a lot more for that. But I do that with people that I know that are serious, because only people that are serious are going to pay that amount of money. And that's why I charge what I charge.
Yeah.
And the same with my program. It's it's not for everybody.
And when I was texting you about this podcast, I was like, yo, I respect your time. I know you're a busy dude. And that's why, and a lot of people don't understand that. It goes the same with video and photography. It's they're like, why are you so much? Or why do you cost so much? And it's because, I'm there for an hour or 2 hours at the gig, or 3 hours, however much the event is. But then the amount of time you take afterwards to edit and everything. So one-on-one coaching, it's a great industry to get into if you have your specialty. And Serge got so many specialties, man. dude, if you guys are trying to get into the whole assisted living business, reach out to him and he'll help you out, and just talk to him. And
honestly, Jeremiah and I was about to actually hire him for a gig to do for me, and business is business. At the end of the day, ever be afraid to reach out to people and ask. And it may not work out, or it may not essentially go through, you know, but regardless, it's always just having that relationship.
Exactly.
And building those relationships. Dude, I hate networking meetings. Yeah. I'm one of those people that I hate meeting new people.
You already said you're an introvert. You don't like.
And dude, van life, why I love it so much is because of the minimalism of it, but also the isolation of it.
Yeah.
I know I would love the isolation of it. And just being out on my own and just doing all that. Kind of what I do now. But that's why I love it so much. And, I would say for people that are trying to become entrepreneurs, because, entrepreneurship is hard as the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I did nursing school. I fought cancer. I did all that. Guess what? It's nowhere near as hard as entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I've had some serious battles.
There's so many
times.
Up and downs with entrepreneurship.
You have to be comfortable with the uncertainty and just accept it for what it is.
Exactly.
Except that it's going to be uncertain.
Hold on, roll back. You had cancer, bro? You just threw that in there?
I just had to casually throw that in there.
Jeez.
When I was
that
young,
might be a second podcast coming up.
Yeah, no kidding, man. But what I'm saying is, listen, it's not for it. If this scares you, the fact that
the uncertainty, if that scares you, entrepreneurship may not be for you.
It's
you
not.
Know what I mean?
And too many gurus out there, too much hurrah-rah, all this crap, which is starting to really
it's kind of annoying,
upset
to be honest.
Me and annoy me and wish I could speak up against it. But it's an uphill battle to try to bring these guys down and tell them hey, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I suffered from depression. I suffered from not. I'm keeping it real because at the end of the day, that's what it's really all about.
Exactly. Just being honest with yourself, honest with your clients, honest with your audience. And
and
that's what attracts people.
As shameful as it was for me to eventually come out and say I lived in my car and stuff, I still did it because it showed.
It's your testimony.
But it showed how real entrepreneurship is.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's what separates the greats from just the average, you know, mediocrity.
Yeah.
And listen, there's nothing wrong with being mediocre and being normal and living just kind of like a mediocre like life. But if that's for you, then by all means, there's going to be times where I envy those types of people, because guess what? They don't have the stresses that I have to deal with.
Yeah, they clock in, clock out,
yep.
live their life.
But dude, for me, clocking in, clocking out feels like a cage.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
and that's how I feel.
And so, you know, that's why it's not for me.
Yep.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people are like, dude, why don't you go work as a nurse? Plan B, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I pissed on that plan B a long time ago. And I don't ever plan on going back to that plan B. And it won't ever be an option. You got to have a no option mentality, you know? And I highly suggest listening to Andy Frisella. That dude is one of the realest dudes in this entire entrepreneurship game.
Okay.
I mean, he's not your Gary Vee. He's not your, you know, Tony Robbins.
Yeah,
this dude keeps it real, tells you what it's really like, the struggles that he's gone through.
Uh-huh.
You know,
his story.
His story, just everything, dude. And the dude runs 8 companies. Like, I mean, he's an actual entrepreneur.
That's
someone who I aspire to be like. You know, I don't look up to the dude and put him on a pedestal, because I respect the hustle that he's gone through.
Yeah.
And from an entrepreneur to another entrepreneur, like, I feel with that dude. The dude is real. Like, I'm not going to sit here and you look at all these guys on social media with their fancy cars, with their, you know, private jets.
Yeah.
None of that's real, guys. Like, all that is a bunch of crap. That's a bunch of...
don't believe it.
Don't believe it. It's
don't buy things that you want other people...
Listen, if anybody tells you that you're going to be a millionaire within 12 months, run away far away.
Because, man, because
all that
not
is
real.
That dude's just trying to dig into your pocket and take your money.
Exactly.
You know, and so... listen, it's going to take time, and it's going to take hard work. And that's what is not being sold nowadays.
Yeah.
Is the patience, the time, the hard work. Cause it's like, dude, if you weigh 300 pounds and you tell someone, hey, within 30 days, I can give you something to lose, you know, 150 pounds.
Yeah.
It's like, that's way more.
You just go get surgery.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people would buy into that a lot easier instead of saying, hey man, for like 2 years, you're going to have to go to gym and like really put in work and work on your diet.
Who's going to want to do that? It's what tickles your ear.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's all it is.
It's like the prosperity preachers out there. They like to give all the blessings. You're going to get so many blessings, but they never talk
about
that.
And that God is always just a gracious God.
Yeah. They never talk about that God is
That God will judge you.
Yeah.
And God will, you know, there are consequences for your actions.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, you know, also being like an entrepreneur, man, like, you're constantly giving. That's something I've noticed is, like, there's times where, like, I'll be, like, filming a video or I'll be thinking of, a topic.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, like, I feel like I've just been giving. Like, I sometimes don't feel appreciated.
Yeah.
Even though I do have, like, people following me and, you know, subscribing and stuff.
And
but, like...
And, I mean, that's probably, like, a norm... Because you have to give so much value out there before...
Before people, like, actually take you seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
And at one point, it got to that point where I was like, man, I feel exhausted. Like, I feel like that's all I'm doing. And even with my residential assisted living, what I'm doing, I feel like it's amazing. Like, I go in and I talk to, you know, my residents and... They're so happy and they're like, thank you so much for, like, you know, providing such a great home and like whatnot, you know. And there's times where I do take it for granted, the fact that I have this like amazing service that I provide. And then those are like the moments where I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
and so, yeah, essentially that's so sometimes I talk about that too, is just having that why of the reasons why you're doing the things. Just remembering whenever you guys are getting into that venture, just remember why you're doing the things, because entrepreneurship, like we both said, it's not a smooth ride, guys. And so, just listen to his story and like you guys will totally know that it is just not, there's uphills and valleys and you guys will get through those difficult times, but you just have to remember the why. The reason why you're doing the things.
You know, it's
doing.
Funny because we sit here and we talk about this, right? Uh-huh. Like we talk about like, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You're going to go through this stuff. I remember when I was like going through all this like hard stuff. I remember telling myself when I would eventually start getting on podcasts and like collaborating with people. And
yeah.
You'll hear it, right? It's a lot easier said than done. Like you'll get through it.
Don't
worry. Guys, know that like.
Yeah.
On the other side of what you're going through right now. Is going to be so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I genuinely mean it. Like, it's temporary what you're going through.
Yeah, exactly.
It, at the end of the day, a majority of the time, it's all in your head. Like, a majority of the time, you're
the stress you're worried about.
The questions, the worries, the doubts. Am I going to make it? You are going to make it. Like, yeah. That's a fact. Like, I'm like living proof of that. Like, you will make it, and God will guide you through those storms. Amen. Of, like, you know, what you're going through. And I'm not going to sit here and just like, I don't know what each and every single one of you guys are going through. Mm-hmm. But just know that, like, God knows what you're going through. Like, God sees you in the lowest moment of your life. And, like, do not give up. Do not make a permanent decision for a temporary circumstance that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so many people do that. And, like, whether it be suicide, whether it be, because I, dude, don't get me wrong, like, I had those thoughts of suicide for sure.
I agree. Same.
Do not make that permanent decision for the temporary circumstance that you're going through.
Exactly.
And go get help. Like, do not be stupid. Do not think that you can't reach out and talk to somebody.
Yep.
And you're not alone. It's a serious epidemic that's going on right now.
Like, no, I totally agree, man.
And, you know, I have my best friend. He's like, the dude is so optimistic.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those people that hasn't had to struggle really hard in his life. He's never really had to, like, and he's constantly gotten W's. He might have had, like, an L here and there.
Yeah.
But the dude is so optimistic. It, like, I envy him. The dude is like, what's depression? Like, he thinks that depression is, like, this weak person thing. Like, it's like this... You know, and a lot of people do have that
persona, or that, like, they think
that stigma of depression. That's how it is. Like, you're weak, and, like, you're just sad.
Yeah.
Oh, like, everybody has a bad day.
Yeah.
No, dude, I would tell him, I'm like, listen, man, for me, depression built up from a very young age,
mm-hmm.
and over time, it was like a seed inside of me.
It just grew and grew.
Yeah, it grew and grew because guess what? I would just. Like, anything that would happen, I would just keep it to myself, and it just built up, which is very dangerous. It's, like, destructive, and that's what happened, you know? And so, like, guys, if you're ever dealing with stuff, like, don't, like, voice it. Like, don't just, like, keep it to yourself and pretend, like, people aren't going to hear you out and stuff. So, even with business, man, business is brutal. So, like, there's going to be times that just make you so mad, and you just wish you could, like, you know, punch a wall or something, and like, but
nah,
understand,
I totally
like,
agree, bro.
Find outlets. Like, for me, it's gym, God, you know, like my girlfriend, my best friend. Like, find outlets to allow yourself to, like, distress from all that stuff that's going on. And, like, do not trust me. Like, when I say when I'm an introvert, I, like, literally mean it to the point where, like, I'll isolate myself completely. Don't do that either. That's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, I highly, especially when you're, like, as an entrepreneur, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just find people that you, like, find your tribe. But, you know, yeah, there's a difference between finding your tribe of, like, who you're going to sell to and, like, provide value to and stuff. But, like, find your people that you're going to do life with.
Yeah.
Like, whether it be
your five people that you want to make sure that you
and, like,
through life.
You know, yeah, just, you know, that's going to take time because as an entrepreneur, you're going to lose a lot of friends because not a lot of them have that same mindset.
And sometimes you have to cut some friends out.
Yeah, and you're going to go through this phase of loneliness. But, like, understand it's only going to be a matter of time before you build something of yourself and the right people come into your life. Who will not only support you in your mindset, but they're going to help grow your business, and you'll eventually do business.
Yeah, and then they'll build build value in your life as well. Man, Serge, dude, you gave so much value in this interview.
Thanks,
bro. I appreciate you. If you want to reach out to Serge for anything, plug in your stuff, man.
Yeah, so you guys can follow me on Instagram at Serge_Lupescu, S-E-R-G, and then _LUPESCU. Same on YouTube, Serge Lupescu. And then you can also find, like, my academy at Legion, L-E-G-I-O-N, and then assistedlivingacademy.com. And then, yeah, that's...
Boom. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that little interview little long interview, but there's so much jam-packed information and value that he just gave out to you guys. And I hope that you guys take something out of this episode, because remember, guys, if you guys need help, just reach out to me, reach out to Serge.
Yeah.
We'll be there to talk to you guys and
help out. Yeah. Any way we can, anything that we can do, we'll help out.
But yeah, so thank you guys for listening. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. And
if you guys are new to this podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button. And I really do appreciate you guys listening all the way through. For the next episode that comes out, make sure, because it is going to be on Mondays now. It's going to be Mondays. So keep an eye out for that. We'll see you guys. And thank you guys so much. Bye.